Now, the message today is taken from Acts 20, verse 20 and 21. Let's read these two verses again. Acts 20, verse 20. He says, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul is saying when we met in public places like a synagogue or other places, he said my message was the same, Christ and Him crucified. Or whether I was in your home, house to house, traveling from different ones, different family, from family to family, house to house, my message was the same. The gospel, testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. Testifying, verse 21, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, whoever will listen, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the title of the message today. Faith and repentance. Or, if you like, repentance and faith. Now, it is impossible to have true faith, without true Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Likewise, it is impossible to have true repentance, true godly repentance, what Paul called a godly sorrow over sin, true godly repentance without true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They go hand in hand. Both dwell in the heart of the sinner, planted by the sovereign hand of Almighty God. That is, God Almighty, to the heart of God's elect, when He gives salvation, God Almighty, with that mighty hand of grace, operates in your heart. He invades your territory, and He enthrones Himself in your heart. That's salvation. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen to this. Someone said years ago, "I preach the gospel to you today as one who may never preach again. This could very well be my last sermon. And you who are listening to the gospel may never hear it again. For I preach as a dying man, but I also preach to you who are dying." That's so. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. None. That's why the scripture says today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Every time we come together to hear the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to come with an eager attitude. We ought to come with great anticipation to hear a word from God. Not only to hear a word from God, but to receive it gladly. To submit unto what God says in His Word. To believe it. To bow to it. To love it in our heart. You may never hear it again in this life. Oh, may God be pleased to speak to our heart today. Oh, that God will speak in power to our heart today. On this vital and important issue found in verse 21 of Acts 20, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these words found in Acts 20 are the last words the believers from Ephesus heard from the Apostle Paul when he parted their company. Can't you imagine? They're on the, probably near the coastline as Paul was getting ready to take ship and to travel on down to Jerusalem. Maybe they somehow got off aside away from the busy harbor and away from all the hustle and bustle of the day, and they just got over here in a quiet place and they kneeled down together and prayed, sorrowing and weeping that they'd never see one another again in this life. You know, that was a touching scene. I could just imagine in your heart. But the Apostle Paul, he declared unto them that he had kept nothing back. Notice verse 20. He said, and now, he said, I've kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you from house to house and in public. He kept nothing back from them that they needed to hear in regard to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a reference on that. Hold your place there, but find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. He said, I didn't keep back. I didn't keep back anything. But rather, he said, I told you, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which tries our heart. For neither at any time use we flattering word, as you know, as a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you or of others, that we might be in a burden some unto you as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse that would cherish your children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own soul, because you were dear unto us. He kept back nothing from them. He didn't preach to please men. What he declared unto the church, he also declared in public. For everyone needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this community needs to hear. That's what this county needs to hear. They need to hear the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone that will hear it. Go preach Christ. I like what he says, not only that he kept nothing back, but look at the last part of verse 24. He said, I've received this ministry from the Lord. This ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel of the grace of God. It's the grace of God that has chosen us. It's the grace of God that has called us. It is the grace of God that has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. I want to be a witnesser of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Something else he says in verse 27 of this text, he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul did not disguise the truth or take the edge off the truth to keep from offending someone. He said in another place, if I preach the gospel so as to take the offense off, I'm not the servant of Christ. Do we tone down the gospel? Do we mold our message to fit the sophistication of the crowd? Do we preach a different message to the king than we would to the peasant in the street? Or do we have but one single message? Paul says we have but one message. We've not shunned to declare that one message. Paul means that he did not disguise any truth. He did not withdraw or keep back any truth, but he rather declared it. He didn't say, I explained it. As old Rolf Barnard used to say, I'm not in the explaining business. I'm in the proclaiming business. Preaching Christ and Him crucified. Paul did not disguise any truth or withdraw or keep it back. He declared all the counsel of God. The counsel of God in saving sinners, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And he says that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. May we be determined as God's church, as God's people, be determined, as Paul, to preach Christ and Him crucified as all the counsel of God, all the purpose and will of God in redemption. That's what the counsel of God is, the will of God, the purpose of God in redemption. How are we redeemed? Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified freely by His grace through the blood that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And God help us. God help me to be consistent as Paul to continue to declare that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is all of God's grace. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of all of salvation. Paul had but one message for the Jew and Gentile. He says in verse 21 of Acts 20, testifying, preaching both to the religious Jew or the pagan Gentile, but one message. One message. He had but one message because there's just one gospel. There's just one Lord. There's just one faith. There is just one way. As he says to the Galatians when he writes there, he said, though we or an angel preach any other gospel, any other message, well, let that man be damned. Now, we have but one Savior, one gospel, one God, one faith, and one repentance. Now, let's take a closer look at this subject, repentance toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seven things. Seven things. First of all, let me say this. A belief in sovereign grace does not exempt the sinner from believing or repenting, but rather is given of God to glorify His mercy in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the first thing. How important is faith in Christ and repentance toward God? How important is it? Is it a side issue? Does it really matter? Well, let's find the answer from the Word of God. Now, Luke 13, turn over there. I'll give you time to find these, and I want you to follow along and read this with me. How important is faith and repentance. Repentance and faith. Well, what does the Lord say about repentance? Luke 13, verse 2. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffer such things. Verse 3. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you all likewise perish. I'd say it's pretty important, wouldn't you? In the realm of salvation, forgiveness of sin, or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, this religious, self-righteous crowd, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So what would you say? How important is faith and repentance? Well, repentance is absolutely vital. Now, how about faith? Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. About faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. A man without faith is a man without Christ. Without Christ, it is impossible to please God. So that's the first question. How important is repentance and faith? Now, if you're honest, you have to say it's vitally important to my salvation. To my salvation. Now here's the second thing. What do we know about faith and repentance? Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God are sovereign gifts of God. That is, he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that gives salvation. It's the goodness of God. Now listen to me. It is the goodness of God that leads a sinner to repentance. It is not preaching damnation, hell, and fire and brimstone and trying to scare somebody into profession. That which is born in the storm will die in the calm. It is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. It is the good mercy of God that draws you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, both faith and repentance are sovereign gifts of God. Now, repentance, is it God's gift? Yes, it is. Acts chapter 5. Turn there. Acts chapter 5. Verse 31. So repentance is the sovereign gift of God. If a man truly is given repentance in his heart, it's not something that blooms here naturally. It's not native to the heart. Repentance is not native to this old rotten heart. Rebellion is native. Brokenheartedness is not native. That's the gift of God. Now, Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. So it's His gift. Here's another reference, Acts 11. Turn there. Acts 11, 18. Sovereign gifts of God. Acts 11, 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance. So you have to conclude that if a man truly is given a heart of repentance and brokenheartedness over sin against God, not that he got caught, Not that he just showed remorse that he got caught, but a genuine brokenheartedness over sin against God, if you have that, it's because God has convicted you in your heart of what you are. How about faith? Faith, again, is not something, find Ephesians 2. Faith is not something that blooms in the heart of man by nature. What blooms in the heart of a fallen, wicked, wretched heart? What blooms in that heart naturally? Unbelief. We love darkness, not light. Man by nature loves darkness. He's in love with sin. He's in love with himself. He hates God. A true believer only believes because God granted and given faith. Ephesians 2. Every one of you could quote this, couldn't you? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Acts 13. Back over to the book of Acts 13, verse 38. We had this recently from a message a few weeks back. I'm saying as clearly as I can that both faith and repentance are sovereign gifts of God. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So, how important is repentance and faith? It's important, isn't it? Faith and repentance are both the sovereign gifts of Almighty God. He grants and gives repentance to whom He will. From some, He simply leaves them to perish in their own rebellion, and others, His elect, He sweetly draws them to Himself. Sovereign mercy. That's what this book teaches. Sovereign grace. Now here's the third thing. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God are the sovereign commands of God. If you truly repent, find Acts 17. If you truly repent in your heart, and if you have a continuous repenting heart, and that's what true repentance is, it's an ongoing state of being. It's not some isolated thing in the past. It's an ongoing life, the life of repentance. Acts 17, if you have a true repenting heart, it's because God sovereignly commanded you. Look what it says here. Acts 17, verse 30. Times of this ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And if you truly do, it's because God has made that command effectual to your heart. So it's the command of God. Same thing about faith. Faith is the sovereign command of God. 1 John chapter 3. Turn over there. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 now. This is 1 John chapter 3. If you have the Cambridge, it's page 333. Likewise, faith is a command of God. God commands His people to believe. The king doesn't invite his subjects to believe on him. A king commands his subjects to believe on him. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given unto us. Sovereign commands of God. I'm on number 4 now. You with me? Being analytical on purpose now. Here's the 4th thing. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God. Now this is key. Stay with me on this 4th point. If you're keeping score, put a star by this one. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God both own, bow, and submit to God who is God, bow and own and submit to the sovereign will of God as salvation is revealed in Christ, who is the truth, the only just God and Savior, the one who is just and the justifier. Both faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance, both faith and repentance look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation. They both acknowledge the truth. Now, turn and read this with me. Don't miss this point here. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. True godly repentance acknowledges the truth of the gospel. That God is God, that man is a sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a successful, victorious Savior, that none of His people will perish, that He saves them by His almighty grace. That's what true godly repentance acknowledges, the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, able to teach, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging the truth. Now, it's just not, I'm sorry. True repentance acknowledges God is God. The God who elects, the God who saves whom He will, the God whose Christ is successful, the God who calls by irresistible grace, the God who saves with everlasting salvation. This true godly repentance acknowledges the true and living God. You with me? Now here's the second thing. Turn to this. Just over a few pages. Titus. One page. Titus chapter 1. 2 Timothy then Titus chapter 1. Likewise, faith. This is not historical faith. This is not just the faith of facts. This is true faith that looks to Christ, the Christ of God. Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, that truth which magnifies the glory of God, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So both faith, true repentance now, I think you can realize in your heart now, that to some extent and to some degree, do I have that repentance that's given of God? Do I have that faith that's given of God? If you do, it's because He gave it to you. If you do, it's because He taught you the true gospel of the grace of God. Now, I'm on point number five. Here's the fifth thing. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God are not isolated, single, one-time experience, but rather a lifelong state of being that is both powerful, perpetual. I mean by perpetual, you know the word means continuous. Permanent, growing, and increasing. It never ends in this life. I have repented. I am repenting. And by His grace, I do have a broken heart over my sin. You see, it's the state of being. Same thing with faith. I have believed. I am believing. And by His grace, I continue to believe. You see, it's an ongoing. That which is alive and that which is given of God, it grows. It continues. We are believing. We are repenting. Now, believers do continually come to Christ. 1 Peter, turn there. Believers do continually come to the Lord Jesus Christ with brokenheartedness and with faith. They do come to the Lord Jesus, continually coming. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 2 says, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, if so be you've tasted the Lord is gracious. Now look at verse 4. What does that say there? To whom coming? To whom coming? To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You see, we're continually coming to the Lord Jesus. Now back a few pages to Hebrews 12. Turn over there. So true, I'm saying true godly repentance and faith continues to come, continues to look. Hebrews chapter 12. Now turn there. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Looking. You see, true faith has a single eye to Christ. A repentant heart has an eye to Christ, looking unto Him, looking to Him. Believers do continually believe on Him. He that believeth. Not that I used to believe. If you ever did, you still do. And by His grace, you will die believing the true gospel. Die believing it. One day my faith will end in sight when I behold Him face to face. Now here's number six. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God are the fruit and evidence of salvation. Now get this, not the cause, ground, or reason of salvation. You with me? True faith and repentance are the fruit of salvation, not the cause. Faith. Okay. Preacher, can you make good on that? I think I can, but let's see. John chapter 1. Turn there. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you don't believe, and you'll be born again. No, you believe because you have been begotten of God. You see, His purpose and grace is the reason I believe. John chapter 1. Now, this is John chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Says, He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, right, privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, most preachers, not grace preachers, but most preachers in this world, will read that part and stop. But notice the punctuation there. I'm not an English teacher, but there's not a period there, is there? After His name, there's a colon, which means the thought continues. Which were born. They believed they received Him because they were born. Then it gives some negatives. Not of the blood, not fleshly inheritance, that's what he's talking about there, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. They believe and receive because they were born of God. That's the difference. Now, what distinguishes the message that's preached here from what you hear down the street or in other places? What I'm saying, if you're a true believer, and what this book teaches, a true believer of the grace of God and salvation by the grace of God, it's because He's made you to differ. It's because you've been sovereignly begotten of God. And here's another reference on that. 1 John chapter 5. You see, salvation is not just me making a decision. You know, repentance is not reformation. You know, they'll preach, well, you know, stop the drinking, stop the gambling, stop the running around, stop all that, stop all this. That's reformation. That's not repentance. And somehow we've confused that in our day. You hear things like, well, you stop this and you stop that and you stop this and you stop the other, then God will do this and this and this. No. No. God will have mercy on whom He will. And when He does the work of grace in your heart and breaks your stubborn will and hard heart, He'll grip your life. He'll change your life. You see, repentance is not just reformation. It's a change. It's a change. God works in your heart. He'll cause you to love things you've never loved before. He'll cause you to want to come to services and to hear His Word. My wife's not here today, so I'll tell this on her. She used to drag me to services. I hated it. I hated it. Before I knew the gospel, before I knew the truth, I went because I knew if I didn't go, she'd get mad. I love to go now. God's changed my heart. He changed my want to. Changed my will. Give me life in Christ Jesus. But this is because one day God in His sovereign purpose gave me life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. What does that say? Read those words. Is born of God. The reason you believe is God Almighty from the sovereign throne gave you life. Resurrected you, pulled you from the dung heap of sin, death, darkness, the dungeon of sin and depravity, and made you a prince of glory. Faith and repentance are both the fruit of the Spirit, not the product of the flesh. Did you get that? Faith and repentance are the fruit of the Spirit, not the product of the flesh. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. Where you have faith, you have repentance. You see, we believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, I bet you thought I'd never say this. Number 7, the last one. Both faith in Christ and repentance toward God are given at the same time. They're given at the same time, from the same hand. They're part of this package of salvation. And when God grants it, He grants both. They bloom in the heart of the sinner by the sovereign grace of God, fertilized by His almighty power. When you find one, you find the other. Like a piece of paper. That piece of paper has how many sides on it? 1, 2. Where you find salvation in the heart of a sinner, you find both faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance toward God. They come together. They come together. Let me show you this reference. Find 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. That is the marginal reference. You were made sorry according to God, that you might receive no harm, no damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Evidence of salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, repented after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What desire. What zeal. What revenge against things that are false. And all things, you've approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Repentance after a godly sort. Now listen to this. If you miss true Holy Spirit conviction, if you miss true Holy Spirit conviction of sin, our Lord said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will reprove, convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, what I am. Of righteousness, what I need. Of judgment, having my sin judged in Christ Jesus. If you miss true Holy Spirit conviction, you'll miss true heart repentance. If you miss true heart repentance, you'll miss faith in Christ Jesus. And if you miss faith in Christ Jesus, you'll miss salvation in Him. As repentance grows, so our conviction of sin grows. As faith grows, the greater our love and esteem and appreciation for Christ grows, who puts away our sin. On this vital matter of faith and repentance, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He's everything. True repentance says we are guilty before God. True faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ to put away our sin for justification. True repentance says we're guilty, sinners. True faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ for righteousness. True faith says we're empty. Man in his best state is vanity. True repentance says we're empty. True faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ for all fullness. Of His fullness have we received grace for grace. That conversion experience that is all joy, but lacks deep conviction, lasting conviction of sin, is not real. Let us not be afraid to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Do I have that repentance towards God that leads me to look to the Christ of God? Do I have that faith that leads to a godly repentance that looks to Christ Jesus? These two graces are inseparable. Now I read this verse every time I do a wedding right down here. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. But this is also true with faith and repentance, isn't it? What God had joined together, let us not try to isolate them. Let's not try to separate them. They come together. They're the evidences of being saved. They're a state of being for a believer. Ongoing. And they remain until God takes us home to glory.